morning. Hello. Thank you so much for joining us today. Whatever time of day you're listening, because we have listeners literally from all over the world. It is so exciting to hear from you, and welcome to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z right here on Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. We have a really exciting new feature, along with all the other great features here on Progressive Radio Network, because you know you can listen to this show on PRN.FM. And you also can call in and listen anytime. We have a listener listen line. Then we have a new feature today, which is a voicemail feature, because very often people want to ask questions. I get them all the time where they will have listened to the show, not when we're airing live, but in Bangkok or somewhere at, you know, some other time of day, and they have a question. So now, you know, you can call your question into voicemail, and that number is 862-800-6805. That number again is 862-800-6805. And I imagine if you go to PRN.FM, they will have that number clearly posted. If you're listening in the car and you can't write that down, so then you can go ahead and call in, leave a voicemail, and I imagine we might even be able to play them and answer them on air. I'm not exactly sure how that will work because it's a brand new feature, but the engineer will inform me. Heather is our guest today. Sorry about that, Heather. And Heather is a wonderful guest from across the ocean, far away, and I'm so happy she was able to join us today. And we are doing a show today about her book, which is Essential Oils for Mindfulness and Meditation. And you can find out more at her website, aromatique.co.uk. So Heather is an aromatherapist, fellow of the International Federation of Aromatherapists, and an aromatherapy teacher. She has published a number of articles and research papers exploring the benefits of essential oils and also how they can be applied in the management of ADHD. So thank you so much for joining us today, Heather.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure.
Oh, that's great. So I had mentioned the other guests because, you know, we do 4 radio shows a day. So sorry about that.
No,
and you have actually been a guest on our other shows as well. So we're so happy you're able to join us today on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Now, what made you, going back in time, get interested in aromatherapy?
Okay, it was many, many, many years ago, or to me, many years ago in the early 70s, when I first learned to meditate and became involved with a lot of other people who were very interested in complementary medicine. And as part of that process, I met some very interesting people, one of whom was Robert Tisserand, who was just beginning to set up business in those early days, and he introduced me to essential oils. His wife, Maggie, also introduced me to homeopathy, and other people introduced me to other complementary therapies. But I was very, very much intrigued with essential oils. They seemed to sit with my personality, so that I, you know, they sort of expressed something for me, so I decided to focus on that. So Robert introduced me to the principles and practices of using essential oils, and I've developed that interest ever since.
Okay, that's a good going back in time. When you say the 70s, that is a long time ago, Heather.
Yes, I know.
I'm right there with you. I started studying holistic medicine in 1964, and I became a nurse in 1973. So that's when I started putting together The Natural Nurse, doing holistic interventions, teaching people about how they can use things like aromatherapy and herbal medicine for their own family or professionally. So it does go back a ways. It definitely does. And it means that you have maintained this interest and focus for decades.
Yes, I think it's sort of once once you delve into it and you see the sense of it, it's sort of like once you know, you can't unknow. And so I've integrated it into my life ever since, really, bringing my children up and then focusing on adapting it as a career so that now I'm an aromatherapist. I've been an aromatherapist for very many years. But I also did a degree in complementary medicine, so I've studied the whole spectrum because they're all very much integrated. And I think when you understand that and you look at them all and then you come back to your specific modality, you can then integrate that and have a deeper understanding of what's going on energetically and sort of looking at the chemistry of essential oils, etc. So, yes, I've maintained it through my life, through the ups and downs.
So, you know, that's interesting because you brought up your own children. And, of course, I imagine they may be adults at this point.
They certainly are. Yes, I'm a grandmother. I've got 12 grandchildren.
My grandchildren? You have me beat. I have two grandchildren. But nonetheless, as a parent, we certainly may have young parents listening in as well as grandmothers. Yes. So you were able to use aromatherapy as part of your life and as part of your care principles for your own family. That's the important thing. That really is a very good place to start.
Yes, and as I said, it was an integration of understanding complementary medicine as a whole and understanding diet and nutrition, et cetera, and everything else. And so you, as a parent, being aware of that, I looked at the foods that I would give to my children and looked at the nutrient value and the organic value, and that formed the basis of their health. And then from that, I would use essential oils in different ways, but as an antiseptics or antivirals. And I've also used homeopathy for the children. I remember my son had terrible tonsillitis when he was young, and so I've used various methods and integrated all of those things with my children. And it avoids, things developing into more chronic conditions, so you're able to address things as they arise and work naturally with them and look at it holistically. And I think that's been a very valuable tool as a parent, but as an individual as well, to carry through with me in my toolbox.
That's so true. I'm thinking of a time when my son, who's now 43 years old, so it was a while ago, and he had tonsillitis. He was very little, very young child, and one of the things I used, because I doused for it, maybe some of our listeners understand dowsers, maybe some don't. Mm-hmm. But what we did was we used a homeopathic remedy that actually made his tonsils open up. It was amazing to watch. And basically white pellets and white liquid, like pussy substance, came pouring out to where he was just coughing it up. And then I had him gargle with salt water. And you could watch those tonsils just go down. The infection cleared up. And, of course, we were integrating other herbal remedies as well. But the doctor was saying he had to have tonsillectomy, and he didn't.
Yes, this is the case. This is the thing that happens, isn't it? And I think with complementary medicine, it brings things to the fore. So it's not just dealing with the symptoms, it's dealing with the cause. And so you're going to the root of the problem. And so something like that, it becomes acute, and it sort of almost literally bursts, doesn't it? And then it sort of comes out of the system. And sometimes, complementary medicines will trigger that response. And it can seem as if it's getting worse, but actually it's bringing it to the foreground and making it disperse and get better.
Right about that. Like, let's say a homeopathic sort of one that's coming to mind that I also used on my children and really thousands of patients is something called belladonna. And belladonna is, of course, you would think of it as being poisonous. But in homeopathic form, you can use small amounts. And what you use it for is what it causes. Like if somebody got poisoned by it, you get very hot and red and agitated. And when you give that to a baby who's having that, where their face is all red, they're having a pretty high fever, what I find is their fever spikes, then they break into a sweat, then you can give them like a little, you know, wipe down, and then they cool down and fall asleep. It's amazing.
It is amazing. Sometimes it's scary, too, because we're doing this for ourselves, and there is a little bit of, oh, I hope I'm doing the right thing when you see it sort of spike like that. But if you just go with it, the outcome is usually pretty rapid and obviously very positive as well. It's having the confidence to but also we do it with knowledge. We don't just do it in ignorance. We do it very carefully. And so we always read up. I would always read up and understand what I was doing before I went ahead and treated my children. It isn't something that I just did irresponsibly. We do it with responsibility as well. So we know the right time to call in other professionals or to treat our children ourselves. So I think that's important to understand too. But many, many things we can nip in the bud ourselves and deal with without having to use sort of heavy doses of antibiotics and what have you. Many things can be dealt with as they occur when you understand what's going on.
You know, my real focus at this point in life, because, you know, it's getting towards the second half, right? Who knows how long, but it's certainly not the beginning. The thing is, I really have a commitment at this point in time to take this well-tested, evidence-based knowledge, which allows us to help people in the most cost-effective way, the safest way, and with the best outcome, along with a very low incidence of adverse effects, and it should be standard of practice. It should be what you get from your doctor.
Absolutely, I completely agree. Unfortunately, our medical profession is very, very orientated around the pharmaceutical industry, and so when you go for your 5-minute or 10-minute appointment, certainly here in the UK, it's the prescription pad comes out, and it's usually a biomedicine that you're given, and very rarely are you offered a herbal remedy or even counseling or something else that might help without using medication as an intervention. There are so many other ways to offer support that are, as you say, really cost-effective. The problem is they are time-consuming, and in a world where everything is costed, time is costed as well, and so sometimes it isn't always seen as being appropriate because of the cost-effectiveness, the time it takes. But time is a healer, and spending time and attention on something and focusing on it properly and appropriately, and then creating a remedy, an appropriate remedy, and that can be one of many. It doesn't have to be the biomedicine. You would choose from your own holistic pharmacopoeia what would be most appropriate for that person, that incident at that time. That does take time in the process, but it's so valuable. And also, as I think you pointed out, it means that you nip it in the bud, and you're not having this recurrence, and you're not having the side effects, and you're not compromising your immune system, which a lot of biomedicines do. They have their side effects, but they also compromise your natural immune system, whereas natural remedies don't. They support it. They work alongside it. And I think it's quite frustrating that we don't have this approach in mainstream. I'm sure we're going to get there at some point, because I don't think we have a choice, but I do believe that it's a much better way of working.
Right, and you know, all those pharmaceuticals and surgery are absolutely fantastic, life-saving, when used appropriately. No one's saying to erase them from the earth. I actually think they're part of God's plan as well, because they exist here. It's just the let's say the priority of when to use them that needs to be addressed.
I absolutely agree. And this is the degree that I taught on was called integrative therapy and practice. And that word integration, and I think is very significant. And it's about having, again, we'll use the word holistic, but having a holistic healthcare system so that we have a spectrum of modalities that we can call on to support somebody's health and well-being. So, definitely there are times when medical intervention in terms of surgery or maybe a very strong antibiotic if somebody's got pneumonia, there are times when it's so invaluable. There's amazing stuff that's done, particularly with plastic surgery, and just so much amazing stuff. But it's not the only way, and I think that the issue for me is perhaps, and this is my opinion, I'm not going to say it's a sort of anyone else's but mine, but maybe the pharmaceuticals that we use, you know, we could use alternatives very often without the harsh side effects and other consequences. But definitely it needs to be holistic and integrated and balanced.
So I'm very surprised, Heather, and I just want to reintroduce you here. We're speaking to Heather Dawn Godfrey, and her website is aromantique.co.uk, or you can just Google her name, Heather Godfrey. And we're talking about her new book, although she's written quite a bit. And this book is Essential Oils for Mindfulness and Meditation. Now, one thing that I'm surprised about in our discussion so far, I thought in the UK, homeopathy was much more well recognized, and I know the royal family actually applies homeopathics and has for centuries.
Yes, that's true. I think it's gone through phases, and there's been a phase in sort of the recent past where complementary medicine was again frowned upon. We go through kind of waves of it being acceptable, and then there's a sort of surge or a backlash, and it becomes undervalued. And we are going through another phase now where homeopathy is being proven to work, and there's a lot of evidence to suggest that it is very effective, and even the NHS are now acknowledging that, which is wonderful. I mean, acupuncture is also accepted in certain areas within the NHS. So yes, there is a surge again, and a lot of it's about cost and time again.
Yeah, cost, that's right, because when they have socialized medicine, they're even more interested in cost, because it's not like there's this giant industry making money off of more expensive healthcare.
Or costing the healthcare industry so much, you know, the health profession, spending billions on drugs and pharmaceuticals that aren't always available for everybody. So as the budget is being squeezed, and I'm sure this is going on everywhere, not just in the UK, the medical profession are looking for other means of treating people that are cost-effective, but also very effective as well, so that it enables them to carry on doing what they professionally need to do, and that is to take care of the population's health.
Yes, that's true. So, therefore, like you said, the integrative model is certainly the one that works best in terms of cost, in terms of effect, in terms of low side effects. So it's so exciting that, you know, you can be part of that conversation.
Yes, I feel like it's taken a very, very long time, and you must feel the same too, because you've been doing it even longer than I have. And it does feel that we've reached a sort of a peak or a pinnacle where there is a greater, wider acceptance of many things, including meditation, mindfulness, and complementary medicine. It's become very, very much more mainstream and not just alternative. When I first learned about complementary medicine and essential oils and aromatherapy, it was considered very fringe, very alternative. And now we use terms like integrated and complementary, which demonstrates that it's being acknowledged and accepted much more widely now, which is very exciting. We've waited a long time.
You know, that's so true. That whole evolving process is very, very interesting to watch. That is really, really true. So, since you brought up mindfulness, and your book is about essential oils for mindfulness and meditation, what is mindfulness? That word has definitely taken off in recent years.
It has. It's become very, very vogue. And in a way, it almost sounds like a contradiction, because the term mindfulness when we're trying to still our mind and have a little less of it, I suppose, to find that peace within ourselves. But it's sort of steeped within Buddhist philosophy, although it's not religious, it's not practiced as a religious concept now. It's put forward as a non-religious therapeutic process. It's focusing on, as all meditation practices do, it starts off by focusing on very basic, very simple things like breathing, which are intrinsic to life. And it's about drawing us into the moment, bringing our consciousness and our awareness into the here and now. So using the breath or another technique or whatever to bring us to still our mind, not... Our minds never stop chattering. It's about toning the chatter down so that you can be aware of another part of yourself, if you want, your observer part, your soul part, or whatever you want to call it, acknowledging and being here and now, and finding peace within that. And looking through that lens rather than listening to the chatter, incessant chatter that will take us into the past, into the future, and takes us away from the moment. So we're not in touch entirely with our intrinsic selves because we're being distracted all the time. So the point of meditation is simply to bring us back to our essential self in the moment.
And, you know, that word mindfulness, I think, has been an amazingly wonderful breakthrough, because really it's talking about all these things, about quieting, bringing ourselves into the present, but in, as you say, a very non-religious implication. And by the way, I have to give you a shout out, because your book, Essential Oils for Mindfulness and Meditation, Relax, Replenish, Rejuvenate, who does not want to do that? For our new year, is the best-selling recent release of Inner Traditions 2019.
I know, that's amazing.
It's amazing. It's wonderful. I really, that's kudos to you, because they put out a lot of books. Inner Traditions is a major publisher.
Yes, I'm beginning to realize. I I'm here in the UK, and the reason I chose Inner Traditions was because they do books in my field. And they seem to be, they have the great expertise. So I feel very honored, actually, that they took my book and that it seems to be doing so well. It's pretty amazing. And it's down to their hard work as well. They're a very, very good team to work with. I have to give them a shout out, too.
Well, I think that's something you certainly can be proud of. And we're going to take a little break here, right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And then we come back. Let's talk about some of the excellent ways to use aromatherapy oils to bring up our sense of peace and relaxation, as you talk about in your book. We'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of the Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the essential oil taken from the Australian tea tree.
The tea tree, known as Melaleuca alternifolia, grows in only one region of the world, the northeast corner of Australia. It is a full-sized tree of the myrtle family, whose oil has powerful abilities to clean and help heal wounds and skin ailments such as cuts, burns, and rashes. In 1770, the infamous Captain Cook was a lieutenant in the British Royal Navy when his ship landed in Australia. The botanist on board, Sir Joseph Banks, collected samples of a sticky aromatic leaf and brought them back to England for further investigation.
In 1923, an Australian curator and chemist, Dr. Penfold, conducted a study on tea tree leaves and discovered that their essential oils are 13 times stronger as an antiseptic bactericide than carbolic acid, considered the standard in the early 1900s. The oil contains 50-60% terpenes, 6-8% cineol, which causes its camphor-like odor, and several kinds of alcohols. In 1933, the Australian Journal of Pharmacy, the American Journal of the National Medical Association, and the British Medical Journal reported that tea tree oil is a powerful disinfectant, non-poisonous, non-irritating, and has been used successfully in a very wide range of septic conditions. Australian tea tree oil is mentioned in the British Pharmaceutical Codex of 1949, the UK Medicine List, and the Dispensary of the United States.
During World War II, tea tree oil was considered a standard issue item for all first aid kits for Army and Navy units in tropical regions. The demand for tea tree oil exceeded the supply. However, after World War II, synthetic drugs gained in popularity, and the use of tea tree oil in medicine waned. In more recent times, a renewed interest in natural, non-toxic alternatives has triggered a resurgence in tea tree oil research. In 1985, Dr. Paul Belacher, chief of the phytotherapy department at the Faculty of Medicine, University of Paris, worked on several double-blind studies involving tea tree oil and its application as a remedy for candidiasis, chronic cystitis, staph and strep infections, and nail bed fungus. He stated, and we quote, "The essential oil of Melaleuca has entered the team of major essential oils and emerges as an antiseptic and antifungal weapon of the first order in phytoaromatherapy."
Try a few drops of tea tree oil in a steam vaporizer and inhale for blocked sinuses, or rub the oil on chest and back for a cough. The Australian Journal of Dentistry reported that using tea tree oil in dental hygiene and in surgery showed it to be an extremely effective antiseptic. Add a drop on your toothbrush or include it as a gargle and mouthwash. Tea tree oil can be applied directly to the skin. Although it's possible that some people may experience a mild allergic reaction, in-depth research has shown tea tree oil to be non-irritating and safe.
So, listeners, think about including tea tree oil, the first aid kit in a bottle, in your natural medicine chest.
And welcome back to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Thank you so much for joining us today. And I would like to remind you that you can join us anytime. Go to naturalnurse.com and click on calendar. That shows you all our classes. We have classes going on every single day, both specific information about many aspects of natural medicine, and some are free webinars. We have a free webinar coming up, which is Women's Health, called The Magnificent Woman. If you click on that, it's 100% free, but you need to sign up soon because that's starting January 12th. Once you sign up, you can join in more or less any time. You have a full week or so to listen, or 2 weeks. We also have a free one called The Eyes Have It, all about holistic healing for eyes, and that one is actually limited to professionals and people who are studying. So if you choose to study herbal medicine, we have a lot of CE credits. That means if you are a professional, such as a nurse, midwife, registered dietitian, acupuncturist, or massage therapist, we have courses where you can gain CE credits. Also, those classes are open to anyone, so even if you don't need CE credits, you still can take the classes. We also have certification programs available, such as the Natural Nurse Herbal Certificate Program. And we also mentor people who are serious and want to become professional herbalists. I am a mentor with the American Herbalist Guild and get you through that entire process to become a registered herbalist. And so You can start somewhere, start with just taking a course in, let's say, the Natural Nurse Herbal Certification, and then as you go deeper, work towards your Registered Herbalist Certification. That is recognized as a Registered Herbalist. Very big deal. I recently found out that that's considered a qualifying aspect if someone has, let's say, with their health insurance policy that they're allowed to see an herbalist and get covered with those funds that they save on the side, that if somebody is a registered herbalist, they are considered a professional herbalist. So it's becoming more and more well recognized. If you want to learn anything, just let's say how to take care of your children, like we're talking about today, with aromatherapy, or just for something simple like a cold and flu, you can take an entire class on that. And of course, we also have personal consultations where we delve deeply into your own health challenges and how you can deal with them on your own through natural remedies and, of course, in coordination with your physician. So today we're so happy to have as our guest Heather Dawn Godfrey. And Heather, we're talking about her book, Essential Oils for Mindfulness and Meditation. So thank you so much for joining us today, Heather.
You're welcome. I'm enjoying it.
Now, you also have a lot about ADHD as well, but let's focus for now on mindfulness, because that's the name of this particular book. And you have so many specific things. People can get the book, which, by the way, is the 2019 bestseller from InnoVision on this kind of topic. Amazing. Okay, so let's go into some specifics. Like, here's a word perhaps people have not heard. What do you mean by GEM essential oils?
Oh, yes, this is a term that I coined for the oils that I hone in on, a group of essential oils. So when I was originally writing the book, I was writing it for those who are interested in the subject, so essential oils and meditation, and for those people who want to learn more, so students and those who are studying. So I derived a group of essential oils that would work very well together, but that was safe, and that would create a really good foundation on which to build, to learn from, and to develop. And these, most of these oils in this group of 15, are ancient oils. So we've got spikenard, frankincense, for example, cypress. I mean, these oils have been used historically through the ages, and they've been associated with prayer, meditation, rites, rituals, for their hedonistic effects, as well as their antiseptic and antiviral influence as well. So this is a GEM oils is a coined term, or serenity oils, for these 15 starting oils that I focus on in the book. As a platform to develop understanding of essential oils and their abilities.
Well, let's talk about those more deeply. I just was a little confused only because I study so many things, and there is something called GEMA therapy, which is not the same as
no,
what you're referring to here.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard of that. The reason I used the term GEM originally, we have started to use the word serenity so as not to cause confusion. But the reason I used the term GEM was because this book comes from a bigger book that I've written. And the bigger book, my next book actually covers this aspect of it, but looks at other elements that complement this group of essential oils. And that includes looking at crystals and gems. So I coined the term because I'm looking at these essential oils in a holistic way and bringing in these other more subtle dynamics. I coined the term GEM essential oils. And the reason I'm looking at the other subtle dynamics is because through my practice and the work that I've done with groups of people, I've encountered groups who have, for example, profound special needs. And we had to look at a package or a way of working that sometimes meant we couldn't actually use the essential oils in full full concentration, we had to use them very, very subtly, because often the client would be so heavily contraindicated that we couldn't risk using the essential oil in case it interfered with their medication, for example. So we would use it in very, very, very small quantities, and we'd be looking more at the energetic value of the essential oil. But then that also spilled over into using other methods that would complement the essential oil. So the gem that went with that essential oil, or the color that went with that essential oil, that could also enhance or be used instead of where it was not possible to use the essential oil itself, because there are some circumstances in which you can't, that they're not safe to use. So that was born out of that need to find a group of essential oils that were A, safe, and that would integrate well together. So that's where that term gem came from.
Okay, I just want to share with, you know, it's probably a little obscure, but just so you know also, you may want to look, just because we always love learning. There is a therapeutic called Gemma Therapy, G-E-M-M-A, and by the way, it has nothing to do with gemstones. It's remedies that are made from the dew that is on flower buds. So it's on buds before they open, and making them into this line of homeopathics, and they seem to have a different action than if you made them from homeopathics, let's say from the fully formed flower or other plant parts. So just so you know, it's endlessly interesting. But let's get back to your
remedies.
It's kind of more like, right, kind of like a Bach remedy, but different. Anyway, I always wondered, why did they call it gemotherapy? Why doesn't it have to do with gems? And now you're using the word again, so I'm going, you know, it's just interesting as we continue on our learning path. I love all of it. Yeah. Now, let's talk about some of these oils in depth. You mentioned frankincense, and, you know, we happen to be at the top of the year here. And by the way, just want to tell our listeners, you can call in with your questions. You can even call in right now to the voicemail at 862-800-6805, 862-800-6805. There's a way you can leave a voicemail, and the engineer is telling me we will be able to play those voicemails on the air and actually answer your questions. Even if we don't answer them right now, we can answer them another time. So feel free to call in 862-800-6805. So Heather, frankincense is a wonderful one to start off with. Let's talk about that, how it's collected, and how you might use that, and how you talk about it in your book, Essential Oils for Mindfulness and Meditation.
Yes, so frankincense, again, we know is an historic essential oil, but it starts off as a resin. So it comes from the resin of the frankincense tree. So the bark is scarred, and the resin oozes out of the bark, and it dries, it crystallizes. And these crystallized drops of resin are then collected. And we can burn this or melt it, as it is, and it's often used in rites and rituals. It's certainly used in religious ceremonies, particularly within, for example, the Catholic Church and other religious services.
I just want to bring this up. Yes, Catholic, and yes, Havdalah, which is the Hebrew ritual at the end of Shabbat, which is a festival every single week.
Yes. And I think the reason that frankincense is used in this way is because of its qualities, because it has this wonderful quality to slow the breathing, to deepen the breathing, to create calmness, and that sort of instigates a sense of inner peace and a sense of inner stillness and a sense of that, I guess I use the word spiritual with a small s, but a sense of one's spirituality. And so frankincense is very often used in rites and rituals and spiritual ceremonies for this reason, because it works very well in terms of instigating or instilling this sense of peace and calm. And prayer is sort of is used to sort of accompany prayer and what have you as well, and meditation. But the resin can be distilled to create an essential oil. So the essential oil is slightly different from the resin because it won't have all the same chemical components. Essential oils have the most volatile components within them. So the components that aren't volatile or heavier and won't evaporate would stay behind. So the resin has a slightly different smell from the essential oil, and of course each species of frankincense tree will provide a slightly different odor or a slightly different chemical combination in terms of the quality of that frankincense. So they are all slightly different, but there's a similarity between them. And obviously their actions are very, very similar. So frankincense from a therapeutic perspective is used to ease anger. And I use it a lot for anxiety. I see quite a few clients who suffer from anxiety, and it's an absolutely wonderful oil for calming, every time I've treated somebody, particularly when I'm massaging and I use frankincense, the first thing that my client does is take a deep, deep breath. Every time it's a deep sigh, and I don't tell them that this is a consequence of the frankincense, but it never ceases to amaze me that it has this profound physiological effect that it does. It deepens the breathing. So you take a sigh of relief or a sigh of release. So it's really an amazing oil to work with when you're working with anxiety, agitation, and we go back to ADHD, and also depression, and it's also used to sort of aid confusion and to uplift mood in a very subtle, gentle way.
Well, that's a beautiful explanation. We're going to take another break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And when we come back, we're going to let you learn about more of the wonderful shows that you can always get here at prn.fm. And when we come back, we will continue our discussion with Heather Dawn Goffrey, who is the author of many books, including the one we're talking about today, Essential Oils for Mindfulness and Meditation. We'll be right back with more here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
PRN.FM, your station for progressive viewpoints on politics, economics, health, the environment, and a whole lot more. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Hey folks, my name is Jordan Valerie. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and I'm here to tell you about the Millennial Politics Podcast. We speak with the next generation of progressive candidates, activists, and organizations dedicated to restoring our democracy and protecting our civil rights and liberties. Make sure to stay tuned for Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Progressive Radio Network, to hear the most recent episode of our podcast and follow us on social media and iTunes to stay up to date with everything Millennial Politics.
Hi, this is John Lobel. You can hear my show Visionaries at 10 a.m. on Mondays on PRN. And guess what? PRN now has its own app. So you've always been able to listen to our shows by going to your web browser and putting in prn.fm. And then you can listen to the current show that's on air. But you can now download onto your smartphone, Android and iPhone, our PRN browser. Search for it in your app store, and you can listen live to whatever's on at the moment. So download now our PRN.fm app.
You're listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
friends, welcome back to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Thank you so much for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. Also, get in touch at naturalnurse.com. Check out calendar, and you can come in person. And I love when listeners come in person. They show up at herb walks, they show up at lectures, and they show up online and then tell us that, in fact, you heard about it on naturalnurse.com. And of course, you can always share any of those things, and also at Facebook, The Natural Nurse. Today, we have as our guest Heather Dawn Godfrey. Her website is aromantique.co.uk, a beautiful website with lots of information. And we're talking about her new book, Essential Oils for Mindfulness and Meditation. And thank you for sharing all that wonderful explanation about frankincense, Heather. We still have time to do at least one more, or maybe two more, specific oils. So why don't you choose the next one of your gems?
Wow. I'm going to choose rose. It's a very, very expensive oil, I will admit that. If you can't afford rose, then rose geranium has a similar effect. But it's a very exotic, it's called the mother of essential oils, and it's very beautiful, it's very sedative, it has so, as with frankincense, as with them all, they have multi-qualities, so it works not only hedonistically and emotionally, psycho-emotionally, but it also is a wonderful skin healing and nurturing essential oil. It's good for low mood, fear, anxiety, paranoia, etc. So it works very well in terms of calming the mood and giving a sense of feeling safe. And if you want mothered, I like that word, the mother of essential oils, and which I think is important. It smells so beautiful. It's so deeply floral as well. And it works for men and for women. Just because it's floral, it doesn't mean to say that it's just for women. It works with the hormones. And both of these oils, frankincense and rose, work well for grief and bereavement. So, yes, they are wonderful oils. Yes.
That's great. You know, the rose is also certainly well recognized for love, for spirituality. Everyone knows We use it on Valentine's Day here in the U.S. Absolutely. I'm not sure if you guys have that. But very interesting that in my book, Cycles of Life, I have a recipe for making rosary beads from rose petals that anyone can actually do on their own. And that is where they got the name rosary beads, because they were originally made from rose petals by the nuns. Why? Because of this link to spirituality.
Yeah, that's so amazing. How lovely. That is so beautiful. Yes. Nature provides so much for us. It's an abundant source, a natural source, and rose has been revered through the ages as a perfume, as an exotic perfume, but also for its healing qualities. It's very beautiful. Yes.
Now, in terms of how a beginner, let's say someone listened to this, they've never done any kind of aromatherapy, they don't even know where to begin. What would be the first step? How would you actually use, let's say, frankincense or rose or a different essential oil for mindfulness and meditation? What would be, you know, steps that you have outlined beautifully in your book?
So you'll notice there's various ways that you can use them. I think quantity is very important. I think essential oils, we have to remember, no matter how beautiful they are, they're also highly concentrated chemicals. So they are made up of a mixture of volatile chemicals from between 100 to 250 or so different chemicals in a mixture in a very concentrated an amount. So a drop will be very, very very, very strong, particularly when we're talking about rose. It's extremely highly perfumed. You only need a tiny, tiny amount. So when we're talking about using essential oils physically, we only need one or two drops. We don't want to be splashing it on all over.
Right, and what do we do with those drops specifically?
Yes. So because they are, they're very dry, the term oil is a little bit misleading. They're not oily. They are actually very, very drying to the skin. So we need to add them. If we're going to put them on the skin or put them in a bath, for example, then we need to add them to a base oil, so a vegetable oil such as grapeseed or almond or coconut oil, something that will act as an emollient and that will protect the skin and also assist in dermal absorption. In the bath, because when we have a bath, our skin gets very hot, water is very drying. So if you just add the drops of essential oils without putting them in an emollient, you risk causing irritation to the skin, because the skin will get very, very dry and the heat. And also the other thing with sitting in a bath with essential oils is that when we get hot, we perspire. So we're not absorbing, we're excreting. So the way that you would generally get a benefit from the essential oil really is through the steam. So you may as well just put the essential oil into a diffuser in the bathroom. And diffusers can come as, or we've seen candle-lit diffusers that have a candle that light at the bottom with a basin at the top in which you put water and then drop two or three drops of essential oil, and that will diffuse into the atmosphere. So you can place that next to you for perhaps while you meditate or while you're working or while you're relaxing in the evening. Close the doors, close the windows to hold the vapors so that you get maximum benefit. Other ways, there are electric diffusers as well. So that you put them on a pad and there's a fan underneath and that diffuses the essential oil into the atmosphere. I'm just trying to think of all the different ways.
Well, that's, you know, those are good. So in other words, you're not saying to take these internally and
no,
you're saying
I'm
you
never,
don't even need to necessarily put them on your body. There are diffusers. One that I love to recommend, in case people don't have a fancy diffuser yet, they can always get one, and there are many that are very inexpensive. But meanwhile, you don't have to wait. What I have done is actually have people put the oil just on a little piece of cotton and then rub it on a light bulb. Just rub the oil itself on a light bulb.
Yes, you can do that. I think the slower that the oil evaporates, so if it's too intensely hot, it's going to burn the essential oil very quickly.
But right,
if you have a gentle heat works. So you can put drops on tissues. I put drops on tissues and put them onto a radiator.
That's a good idea.
Which is warm, so that then it exudes nice and gently. So on cotton wool buds. Sometimes I've heard people recommend dropping them onto pillows. I don't recommend putting drops on pillows because there's always the risk that you're going to get the essential oil in your eye, and also you're coming into direct contact potentially with your face. And the tissues on your face are very, very delicate. I always say put a drop on a tissue or a cotton wool bud, as you suggested, and pop it into the pillowcase so that it's not coming into direct contact, but so that the odor will vaporize through the material. Or just place a tissue near the, perhaps on a locker or somewhere near, but not in direct contact. So there are various safe ways to use to benefit from essential oils exuding into the atmosphere.
And so that is wonderful because you are evidence-based in your use of the essential oils. Unfortunately, many people are just going around saying, put tons in and just drink it all and it's really safe.
No.
I am so against that. But I'm sure
Absolutely.
You're hearing that.
Oh, I'm quite alarmed, actually. Definitely alarmed. There's a lot of multi-level marketing companies who shall remain nameless, but they do advocate literally splashing essential oils all over, applying it to children, applying it to babies. And it just makes me scream inside because that is just so, so dangerous. When applied appropriately, essential oils are safe, but it is not appropriate to apply essential oils to the skin directly without using an emollient, and it's certainly not appropriate to apply them to baby's skin because it's so delicate. But apart from that, a very small baby, their organs are still developing, and you cannot be sure how that's going to interfere or whether the baby's going to be able to excrete that essential oil effectively without causing liver damage or kidney damage. So you have to be very, very careful, very mindful, use the word mindful, of the fact that they are chemicals and very highly concentrated chemicals. So there's definitely limits and cautions to observe when using them on babies and children, and certainly taking essential oils internally. You do need to have either a herbalist qualification, but you need a medical qualification before you use essential oils internally, because they can cause internal irritation to the mucous membrane and to the organs of the digestive system.
Yes, so and I have seen that. Let's say with something like oil of oregano, people just, you know, upend it and they actually get blisters severe throughout their mucous membrane and their throat.
Absolutely, it's so foolish. For me, I'm just astounded that this advice is being given out so freely in the way that it is. Never ever take essential oils internally undiluted. When it's done medicinally, they're put into capsules with oil, so they're put into wax or I can't think of the term, the capsules that we use to take medicine, so that they, again, there's an emollient there, and so that it protects the mucous membrane, or they're taken in controlled amounts with oil or with honey. But also, it's the type of oil that you're using. You just mentioned oregano. That's a notoriously toxic oil as well. So is eucalyptus. We don't want to be taking those oils internally because they can cause a toxic effect. So we really need to be very, very clear about the boundaries in which we practice or use essential oils.
Well, on that note, we actually have to end. I want to thank you so much for being our guest today, Heather Dawn Godfrey, and her wonderful new book, Essential Oils for Mindfulness and Meditation, the 2019 award winner. So keep going with that. That's wonderful. And thank you so much for being our guest today, Heather.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I've really enjoyed our conversation. Thank you.
Me too. And thank you, listeners, for joining us once again right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. On behalf of myself, Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, and my co-host, Dr. Eugene Zamperone, get in touch at naturalnurse.com. We love to hear from you. And until next time, we're hoping that you stay healthy.